Now, state lawmakers took a close look at former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's investigation into the 2020 election in Wisconsin with a hearing last week. The testimony included heated exchanges between Gableman and members of the Assembly's Committee on Campaigns and Elections, including Democratic State Representative Mark Spreitzer of Beloit.
It seems that you are firmly in the lane of suggesting that the outcome of the election should have been overturned.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there, Mr. Spreitzer. I'm not going to let you put words in my mouth for your cheap political advancement.
You hired Mr.
I never
Hoyer.
Said anything about overturning any election. Stop making things up, Mark.
Then why have you hired Mr. Hoyer?
Your constituents deserve better.
Why have you hired Mr. Hoyer?
Shame on you.
Why have you hired Mr. Hoyer, who tried to overturn the will of the people of Wisconsin?
Learning more about what came out of that hearing and where Gableman's investigation is headed, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this election investigation led by the former state Supreme Court Justice, created by Republicans in the Assembly? Do you think the 2020 election needs to be investigated further? Are you satisfied with the other election reviews and court challenges and audits that haven't found problems in the state's election that would have changed the result? Or do you want to see more? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Laurel White is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She's also co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with the basics. What was the assigned mission from Republicans in the Assembly for former Justice Gableman with this investigation?
So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss unveiled Gableman as the head of this investigation at the state Republican convention over the summer. And the word that he used at the time was shenanigans, that Gableman was going to look into potential shenanigans related to the 2020 election in Wisconsin. So sort of starting from a premise of there were shenanigans that need to be uncovered. And this was coming, of course, after the state had done a number of audits already that are required in state law, a partial presidential recount, and all of those lawsuits that we saw from various Republican-backed entities that all failed to uncover any shenanigans or any proof of widespread fraud or wrongdoing. But Voss said at the time, there needed to be more done to ensure the public had faith in elections in Wisconsin. So that was sort of Gableman's, you know, task at the outset. Look at what happened in the election, report back, tell us if anything went wrong.
One question has been, who is on Gableman's staff in this? We're starting to get some answers now. What do we know about the team that he's hired with the money granted him by the state legislature?
Well, it has taken quite a while to get a list of employees for Gableman's effort. He really kind of dragged his feet on this. He didn't want to share information about who his staff members were. He acknowledged that there were several of them, but didn't want to disclose them. We just last week got several names, and you heard kind of, you played that clip at the top there of the conflict between State Representative Mark Spreitzer, who's a Democrat, and Gableman over one of the staff in particular and his ties to lawsuits that sought to overturn 2020 election results. And that's kind of a theme that's played out with a lot of the folks that have come to light that are associated with this effort. It's a lot of people who have expressed public opinions that the election wasn't conducted fairly, that have been behind efforts to overturn results, questioning things, advancing ideas that have been disproven. So there's a lot of pushback from folks outside of the probe saying that the probe is biased just based on who Gableman has chosen to be a part of the effort.
Now, we heard a taste of that Assembly Committee hearing. What else, apart from some dramatic moments, what else came out of that hearing? What did we learn there?
Well, it was a much shorter hearing, interestingly. So this was just the second time that Gableman spoke before state lawmakers since his effort was launched over the summer. And the first time he went before a Senate committee, and it was several hours long. They went into the evening. They talked for a really long time. This committee was just an hour long. That's the amount of time that Gableman allotted to lawmakers to talk about this. So a big part of the committee hearing was that back and forth that you heard, concerns about, you know, who the staffers are, who's involved. And then the other big conflict right now about this investigation is the testimony that Gabelman is seeking from election officials across the state, the information that he wants, the in-person interviews that he wants, and how he wants to go about doing them. So there was certainly some back and forth about that as well.
Talk to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about the ongoing Republican-appointed investigation into last year's 2020 election in Wisconsin. You mentioned that that conflict with mayors in particular, a court filing, in effect, threatening to jail two mayors in Wisconsin. Do I have that right, Laurel? Are you there, Laurel? Seem to have lost Laurel White for the moment. We are talking about the ongoing Gabelman investigation into the 2020 elections. We'll give her a quick call, I imagine. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts or concerns about this investigation? Are you glad it's happening? Do you think it's redundant given other recounts and audits that have already happened? What do you want to see happen next? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, learning more about a contentious hearing before the state assembly last week between Michael Gabelman and Democratic lawmakers about the ongoing investigation in the last November's election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, Laurel, a conflict between former Justice Gabelman and a couple of mayors of cities in Wisconsin and a threat potentially to jail them. What's going on?
That's right. So what's going on there is that Gabelman had subpoenaed several weeks ago five mayors in Wisconsin, the mayors of the five largest cities in the state, to talk to them about election administration in their communities during the 2020 election. A big part of the conversation there are grants that each of these cities received from an organization called the Center for Tech and Civic Life. It's a group associated with Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Republicans have pushed back on these grants for a long time, saying that they unduly influenced how elections were run in these communities, that it was inappropriate. And so Gabelman has sought out conversations with these mayors. But it has been rocky from the very beginning. He scaled back the documents that he was asking for from these communities because the scope was incredibly broad. And now there's conflict back and forth about the in-person interviews and how those are going to happen and if they're going to happen. And two mayors in particular have really had conflict with Gabelman. The mayor of Green Bay, Eric Genrick, and the mayor of Madison, Satya Rhodes Conway. And as you said, Gabelman is, you know, he's filed a lawsuit. He's essentially seeking, you know, potential jail time for them for refusing to testify in this probe. And their pushback is twofold. One, they say that there hasn't been clear communication about when and how they were supposed to provide this in-person testimony. So they were sort of unclear on whether this was moving forward at all because of some changes that were happening. And secondly, and this is coming from Rhodes Conway, she says she wants her testimony to be in public. She says, I'll speak to you, I'll provide whatever information you want, but I want it to be in front of a legislative committee. I want it to be in public. I want people to be able to see and hear the questions that you ask me and how I respond. And Gabelman says he doesn't want to do that. He wants the questions to be in private. He says, you know, doing it in public could compromise the investigation. It could give away some of the things that they're looking into. And he says that that wouldn't be good. That's not how these things should be done. So there is, as I mentioned, pending litigation about this. And there's going to be a hearing later this month.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Liz is with us in Waukesha. Liz, hi.
Hi there. I have a problem with the Republican agenda. It seems to me between the gerrymandering of maps and the shackling of Governor Evers' power during their lame duck session, and now kind of a secret sort of investigation into a election that has already been probed quite extensively, that leads me to be suspicious. What is it that they're seeking, or what is it they're hoping to find, or are they going to twist things this time so that it appears that there was some fraud? I just don't trust their agenda. It's too sinister, in my opinion.
Liz, thanks for the wall. Liz, for the call. Liz referred, Laurel, to the other audits and things that have gone on. Can you remind us of the more recent or the audits up to this date, including the Legislative Audit Bureau's audit?
The Legislative Audit Bureau report, which comes from the nonpartisan legislative office that conducts audits for the state, that was just released in late October. And it found, again, like a number of other things that came before it, that there wasn't any widespread fraud, there wasn't any wrongdoing, nothing that would have changed the outcome of the election in Wisconsin. It did point out several areas where state laws could be changed and updated, state policies that are have been in place from the State Elections Commission that should be updated. And so it has caused, even without saying that there was widespread fraud or wrongdoing, kind of turmoil in state government, because lawmakers are pushing for changes. They're criticizing the Elections Commission, saying that, you know, even the administrator of the Elections Commission needs to step down because of some of the things that were pointed out in the audit. So that's something that's taken up a lot of space in state government over the past several weeks, and very separate from this Gableman investigation. But again, it did not find anything that would have changed the outcome of the election, just some suggestions for changes moving forward to some state policies.
Liz, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Brad joins us next in Arpin. Brad, hello. I think we lost Brad, is what that ding meant. Okay, we'll go to Jimmy in Valley Junction now. Jimmy, hello.
Good afternoon. I said initially the cost of this was estimated at $800,000. And my question is, how open-ended is the length of this investigation and the cost? And where do they actually appropriate this money from that they're using to conduct it? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Laurel, the costs and how it's being paid for.
Yeah, so the cost is it's just a little bit shy of $700,000. And that's been approved by the state legislature already. That was the initial budget, taxpayer funded. And the question about how long the investigation is going to go on and if it's going to need additional funding is a great question, and one that we've posed to Assembly Speaker Voss, who spearheaded this whole thing. And he says that he hopes it doesn't need to go on much longer. He hasn't weighed in on what potential additional costs may be. There are actually a number of requests out from media outlets, from different groups, trying to get more information about the contracts and the agreements for this investigation, and Voss has refused to release those publicly, citing some of the similar reasons that Gableman did when he said he didn't want testimony to happen in public when he talks to those mayors. So we don't know a lot about, you know, what happens if this goes long. The investigation's already gone a bit longer than folks expected. It was expected to be wrapped up around the same time as that Legislative Audit Bureau audit that ended in late October. So there is a definite possibility here that more money, in addition to the roughly $700,000 that's already been approved, would need to be allocated for this if it's going to go on.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about the ongoing Republican-appointed investigation of last year's elections. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Want to give a listen to former Justice Gableman talking earlier this week. Here's a listen.
My work and my employees will be judged by one thing, and that is the finished work product. And right now, what is preventing the finished work product is the fearful running and hiding of those government officials who do not want to be held accountable and who do not want to tell the public what they did with the Zuckerberg money and why they did it.
And Laurel, that gets back into, in part, the dispute with mayors. But there's been a bunch of kind of legal stumbles along the way. Some of the initial requests were from a John Delta pseudonym email, right? There's been a lot of weird legal glitches that have made communication really weird between all parties.
Yeah, there have absolutely been bumps in the road. As you mentioned, some initial emails to local election officials came from a Gmail account associated with someone named John Delta. There were concerns about that account being secure, whether it was legitimate in the requests it was sending to these local officials for information. And there's been that pushback that I mentioned, you know, the mayors of Madison and Green Bay, their in-person testimony, the lawsuit over that, Gableman threatening to jail them if they don't agree to testify in person. There's a separate lawsuit that has to do with the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and whether she is going to testify in person and provide information to Gableman. And that's a lawsuit that involves the state attorney general, because in his capacity, Josh Call represents the Wisconsin Elections Commission because it's a state agency. And his argument is that the Gableman investigation has a lot of legal shortfalls, that there are a lot of problems there, that it's acting outside the legislature's authority, that it's attempting to be a criminal investigation, which it shouldn't be doing, also pushing for in-person testimony if testimony is going to be given. And a hearing in that case is kind of backed right up against a hearing in the case with the mayors. And those are both scheduled for later this month. So as you mentioned, certainly kind of legal conversations, legal conflicts from the beginning, and looks like more to come.
Let's go back to our callers now. Tony is on the line in Tomahawk. Tony, hi.
Hi. My concern is that Democrats in the legislature have been so timid in trying to play by polite rules. Gableman couldn't even run for Supreme Court justice again because he's incompetent. He can't file a legal brief. You mentioned glitches and, you know, legal misstatements all over the place. The guy is not competent. The whole thing is just an exercise in trying to please Donald Trump, apparently. It's just a bunch of noise, and the Democrats need to talk back to this and say, this is just crap. This is just nonsense. A waste of taxpayer money. They need to stop allowing it to happen and demand that the money be repaid back. These people are not investigators any more than the cyber ninjas were in Arizona. This is just foolishness.
Tony, thanks for the call. What are we hearing from Democrats, Laurel?
Well, we are certainly hearing that from Democrats. Governor Tony Evers has expressed frustration, said that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. The thing is, Republicans have the control in the state legislature. They have the strong majorities, and there really isn't anything that Governor Evers or the Democratic minority can do practically to block this from moving forward. They can voice that criticism, which they have, but just because of the strong Republican majority in state government right now, they have the, you know, kind of the autonomy, the ability to move forward with things like this. So that's just kind of the way things stand right now. In terms of Gableman's competence, that's something that Democrats have brought up as well. Gableman has been open about his lack of knowledge, personal knowledge about election administration in Wisconsin. He said in an interview that he doesn't really understand the process, doesn't understand the intricacies of it. And Democrats have pushed back and said, well, why should we trust someone who's coming from a basis of, you know, self-admitted low level of knowledge to look into something like this? So Democrats have been pushing back, but there are limits on what they can do with that pushback.
Tony, thanks for calling. Fawn joins us next in Madison. Fawn, hi.
I agree wholeheartedly with the previous caller. I think I'm completely alarmed. I think this is an alarming threat to democracy, that all this insistence on secrecy of Gableman, on the part of Gableman and Ross and the others, that all the secrecy is just going to drive. You know, the Washington Post has the motto, democracy dies in darkness. And that's exactly what they're trying to do, trying to pull all these shenanigans and using these tactics of harassment and intimidation by threatening jail time. That's like the Carla said, it's just a lot of noise. The entire matter is trumped up, no pun intended, is just fabricated. And it's just to make a lot of noise and banging pots and pans for no good reason. I think there should be a suit brought against Gableman et al. For wasting taxpayer money. If the state can't do it, possibly a civil group could do it.
Thanks for the call. There is, I think, a suit that's been filed against Assembly Speaker Voss or trying to get a court to declare him in contempt of court, Laurel, for not sharing some of the information you were talking about earlier.
That's absolutely right. And that's moving forward just as these lawsuits about, you know, the in-person testimony are moving forward. So we're going to continue to get decisions to have the judiciary weigh in on this. But there haven't been any cases trying to block the probe from moving mm-hmm. forward in a way other than, the conflict over the in-person testimony.
Thanks for that call. Laurel, just at our last less than a minute now, what are you watching for next? A lot of moving parts here.
Yeah, I think those decisions are going to be a big factor moving forward, whether these local officials are going to have to provide in-person testimony, whether that testimony is going to be in public or behind closed doors, as Gableman wants it to be. And then just obviously keeping a really close eye on if this does move forward, how much longer it's going to take. This was supposed to be wrapped up in the fall. So if this stretches into 2022, how long, what is Gableman looking into, and how much additional money might taxpayers be on the hook for it?
Laurel, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. She was with us today to talk about the latest in former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman's probe of Wisconsin's 2020 election.